who deserves everything that we ought to give him. And he is more than deserving of what we bring to him in our worship and in just our lives. He is worthy to be praised. And we're just so thankful for all who have come out tonight and who have joined in on this evening's worship services. We certainly appreciate you, and I understand that some of you are in a strait between two, ready to depart. I know it's game seven tonight, and I have a vested interest, being that I am from the Golden State. But we're going to do what we need to do.
Amen.
But I know that, like I said, there is a struggle. The good you would, you don't do. And the evil you hate is calling you. And I know how it is. I know how it is. But I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share briefly tonight from God's word. We want to continue to keep Brother Gibbs in our prayers. I believe he's traveling back from Tennessee, and so let's keep him in prayers. And also want to thank Brother Worthy for the message on this morning as he challenged our hearts with faithful fathers in the house. And tonight, I know this is the end of Father's Day, but I did have in mind something to share and encourage our fathers. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And I know you could quote that with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse number 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I want to focus in on verse number 4 as it specifically addresses fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I just want to talk about the powers of a father. I was looking at Facebook and I saw a post. You know, that's where preachers go to get information, to see what's really going on. And that was a post that said more children are getting advice from Google than they are from their fathers. And if you look around, it's not new that fathers are on the back burner. More and more, our society has diminished the role of the father. You remember, you used to turn on Big Valley, and you would see that father there. And Ozzie and Harriet, and Father Knows Best. I know y'all, you don't even know these. Little House on the Prairie. Now, I'm talking about, I want you to look at society, Little House on the Prairie, and one of my favorites, Leave It to Beaver. I tell you there was some boy who got into more mischief than myself. Even good times. James Evans. And even, I don't care what you say about Mr. Cosby, but Cliff Huxtable. Cliff Huxtable was a good father. But now I look at television shows with my children and I see that the father is non-existent. It's as if the kids are raising themselves. And so I thought it'd be good if we look at the power of a father. And I looked at it from the angle of, you know, that water is powerful. But water can drown you, and water can also sustain you. And it just matters as if what power that we utilize that would be helpful to us. Fire can preserve you, but fire can also destroy you. And I want us to see that even fathers have power. And that power can be negative, it can be positive. The book of Ephesians is a book that's divided almost perfectly in half, where the first three chapters are doctrinal and the last three, four through six, are practical. In other words, now that you know how blessed you are, here's what you got to do. And so in this immediate context, Paul is dealing with the family. In chapter 5, he deals with husbands and wives, verses 22 through 33. And then in our text, verses 1 through 3, he talks about the child's responsibility is to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Their responsibility is to honor their father and mother, so that they may have a long life and that it may be well with them. But here, Paul specifically addresses fathers, and he says to them, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In that he says, provoke them not, indicates that there is an ability within a father to provoke his children to wrath. So that tells me that that's a power that a father has. Now, I know that you want me to say parents, but it does not. I'm looking at what the text says, and the text specifically already said parents in verse number 1. So if he intended to say parents, he would have said it, but he didn't. And he said fathers. And so he says, fathers, you have a power and an ability in you that can provoke your children to wrath. Now, when we look at this word provoke, it means to anger, to enrage, to exasperate, to discourage. I know that, sometimes we as fathers, we will do things that will make your children angry. Now, this just goes along with the job. But when he talks about provoking, he is saying to be so heavy-handed and unreasonable that the child is driven to anger and frustration. There is no good job, but it's always heavy-handed and no encouragement. And he says that a father has the power to provoke his children to wrath. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We have to be careful as fathers that we recognize that we have this ability, that we have this power to move our children to wrath, to anger, and to be discouraged. But then on the converse side of that, he says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, when I talk about provoking to anger, I have to be careful that what I do is not so self-centered that it does not regard God's admonition. See, fathers are admonished to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means whatever comes from the Lord is what we are to promote. It is what we are to hold our children accountable for. Now, if we don't know what the Lord would have us to do, then there will be the problem, because now we're going off of what I think versus of what does God say. And so there is this battle that we have, that we can on the one hand move our children to wrath, but on the other hand we can admonish them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm saying to us, we got to make sure and choose what power we use. When he talks about bring them up, that's a word that means to nourish, to protect. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 29. It says that no man, this is talking about the husband and wife, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. He's talking about how you relate to your wife. He's saying that you ought to nourish and cherish her. And he's also saying the same thing as a father to your children. Bring them up. That means I nourish them. I protect them. And I know that sometimes in this society, we want to hand that job to mama. And we will see her as being nourishing. But God says that that's your job. That's our job. That's my job, to nourish my children. Not only that, he says, nurture them. And nurture refers to education and punishment for the purpose of improved behavior. Now, I know we all are familiar with, well, some of you are. I know I'm familiar with nourishment. Proverbs says it best, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Amen. Now, you all remember that we have foolish, I'm just looking back at myself. I did some foolish things. And my parents are here to testify to that foolishness that I did. But their goal was to make sure I stayed on the path
of God's will. And so the foolishness that they saw, they drove it out the best that they could. And the foolishness they didn't see, I got away with. But I recognized that they were trying to mold and shape me, not after their will, but after God's will. Well, that took a little time to recognize that. And then it says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof gives wisdom. So now he's just saying to us that there's a balance in that thing. And he points it out in Ephesians chapter 6 that there's also words and deeds that are used to help and to mold and to shape that a father must use that have been given to him by God. So the rod and reproof gives wisdom. I want us to just see a couple of examples. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19. We're looking at Abraham. How Abraham used, God knew that Abraham would use his words in order to raise his household. And I think that's an example for all of us as fathers. Verse number 19 of Genesis 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Verse number 18, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Abraham was commended by God because God knew that he would use his commandments to raise up his children after him. And there's no better model and example of using God's commands to raise up our children. I think about Job. In Job chapter 1, and you remember, Job, the Bible said, made sacrifices on behalf of his children. He said in Job 1, verse number 4 through 5, he said, it could be that one of my children have sinned. And so it says in verse number 5, when the days of their feasting were gone, Job sinned and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job is an example of a father who continually prayed for his children. And he knew that there was a possibility that they had sinned. And brothers, you and I must know that there's a possibility that our children are out there sinning. And they need a father who will go to the throne of God on their behalf, make prayers for them. That is bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then on the other side, there are some negative examples. You look at Genesis chapter 37. Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph. And watch what the Bible says. Now Israel, referring to Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Favoritism in the house of Jacob caused some negative and adverse impacts on the whole family, because those brothers, they couldn't even stand to listen to the boy talk. And they decided that they were going to get together and do away with him because this is daddy's favorite. And we as fathers got to be careful about that favorite thing, because it can provoke our children to wrath. There's another example of Eli. Eli, the prophet. The Bible condemned Eli. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, you remember that, I believe that's 1 Samuel chapter 2. When Samuel went to the temple, God was calling him. He didn't recognize that it was God, but God wanted Samuel to give Eli a message. And the message was, you've messed up. Watch here in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now here are the preacher's children. You know how they, what they say. We have the baddest of the bad. But watch what. But Eli knew what his boys were doing, what his sons were doing. He said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If any one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now, verse number chapter 3, God gives judgment. Verse number 11, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile. And the Bible says, and he restrained them not. Now, Eli is old, but yet he is still a father. And the Bible says that his sons, he knew what they were doing, but yet he did not restrain them. And because he did not restrain them, God judged Eli and his household. That lets me know that this job of fatherhood does not stop just because that boy of mine graduates and go off to college. You know, people tell you, oh, you got one out. Fatherhood is not restricted to age limit. It's not restricted to that. And so even though I may not drive out the foolishness with a rod, I still have to be one who admonishes in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so I know, I guess this wasn't the best Father's Day message, but fathers, we have a power. And just like electricity, you got to use that power properly. I know after a long day you tired and going to work and you're frustrated, and then folk come in here yelling, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And rather than saying, "Go see your mother," use your power to nourish, to admonish, to direct them in the path of the Lord. The next time there's a parent function, you make sure you go. You know, we quick to send mama to go. You know, anytime they're announcing there's a parenting class, that ain't for us. But it seems that the Bible says we have a power and an influence. And if we use it, we can change the world. God bless you tonight. The greatest Father that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether you have your father in your life or not, whether you are a good father, a bad father, the good thing about what God does is he can give you the chance to be better than what you were and to be more than what you had. To have more than what you had, because he says, "I will paint a picture for you." Brother Worthy did an excellent job with showing us in Luke chapter 15 about that father. And what it was is a picture of our heavenly Father. He says, "I got all the provisions that you need. All you need to do is be in the house to get those provisions." I'm hoping tonight that we as fathers will use the power that God has given us to bring glory and honor to his kingdom and to our families. If you're here tonight, you're not a child of God. You're not a Christian. You're not in a right relationship with God. You don't have God as your father. You don't have Jesus as your brother. You don't have the Holy Spirit interceding for you. You're living beneath the privilege that God sent Jesus to come into this world to die for. Won't you have enough faith in what Jesus did for you so that you could be a better father, mother, brother, sister, whatever you find yourself, an employee, whatever you find yourself in life, you can be much better if you had Jesus in your life. You can have Jesus in your life by having faith, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Christ, and going down in the watery grave of baptism, which makes you a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you're here, you're a Christian and haven't been living how God expects you to live, how God designed you to live as a child of his, won't you make a decision to get things right with him tonight? As we stand and as we sing, will you come?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. They